Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministry with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who allows me to come on every Saturday morning and break bread with you, amen? They have a program which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the name of their program is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where the leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is also the co-founder, and the senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. They have services every Sunday morning beginning at 9 a.m. with Sunday school, and 10 a.m. starts their worship service. You can catch them on Facebook, YouTube, and their website is comingtothelight.org. That's comingtothelight.org. Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. They have Bible studies every Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time. You can call this number that you just called in, 917-388-4161, and listen to the broadcast live, the live Bible studies. And they also have Bible studies every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at their location. Well, I thank you once again for calling in. And before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song. Amen.
Come on, clap your hands tonight. Listen.
For my work is done, and my race has been won. Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting for me.
When I've done my best, and withstood the ultimate test, heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting for me.
Jesus went away to prepare a place for me, and when he comes again, that's where I'll spend eternity. Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting.
Listen here. The time is growing now. When I must say this world goodbye, heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting for me.
Listen. The Lord is coming back. It's gonna be soon and past the plan. Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting for me.
This is where we're going, y'all. Listen. Where the streets are made of gold, the gates are made of pearl, there'll be nothing but joy for me when I leave this old world. Heaven.
Heaven is
waiting, y'all. I said, heaven is waiting for me, yeah.
Heaven is waiting.
I can't wait to get there, no.
Heaven is waiting.
Listen here. I'll be free from pain and misery, free from hurt and strife. Going where there's no despair, and there every day and every night, cause heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting for me.
Yeah, listen. The Savior will see, gonna just bow down at his feet. Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting for me.
Yeah. My loved ones and friends who have gone on before are gonna be reunited. We'll live forever. Heaven is waiting for me. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. Come on, let's say it like this, y'all. Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting for me.
Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting.
Heaven is waiting. Don't you want to go? The most important thing to me that was said in that song is, this is not my home. Yes, I'm sitting in this place, this house that we call home, quote unquote. But truly speaking, this, and when I say this, not this building, but this place called Earth is not my home. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That place is called heaven, and heaven is waiting for you. Glory to God. Heaven is waiting. Heaven is waiting. Don't you want to go? So that's the question. And the way that question is answered is how you living. How you living tells if you want to go to heaven or not. That's hot off the press right there. How you're living tells if you want to go to heaven or not. That's not even in my notes. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Well, thank you once again for calling in, and we're going to get into the word. Amen. Coming out of the book of 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 13, 1 Thessalonians, 1st chapter, beginning, 4th chapter, beginning at verse 13. And it reads, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The title of the message this morning is rapture ready. Rapture ready. Are you rapture ready? Let us pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning to see another beautiful, glorious day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for giving us life, for giving us breath to breathe, Father. Eyes to see, ears to hear, mouths to speak. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come into your presence once again, to sit at your feet, to rest on your lap, to lay on your bosom, Father, to hear your heartbeat, to receive what you would have to say to us this morning, to equip us, to prepare us, to make us ready to go into this world and do what you called us to do, to seek and save that which is lost. Thank you for your word, Father, your word that saves, your word that heals, your word that delivers, Father, your word that sets free those who are bound and captive and trapped under the bondage of sin. Thank you for your son, Jesus, Father, who you sent to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the sacrifice, Father, to be the access. For he is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Father, for allowing him to go to the cross to take the sins of the world, Father, to defeat hell and death and the grave, and to conquer sin, Father. And thank you for raising him up on the third day, Father, with all power, and receiving him, his precious, sinless blood into heaven. And now that he's seated on your right hand, Father, interceding for us, praying for us, pleading for us, Father. Thank you for Holy Spirit, our comforter, our guide, our teacher. Hallelujah. And thank you for you, Father, Almighty God, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name, God, Jehovah, God all by yourself, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, Jehovah to sit in you, the Lord our righteous, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there, who will never leave us nor forsake us, Father, Jehovah M. Kadesh, the Lord our sanctifier, Jehovah Roah, the Lord our host, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise just for who you are. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Rapture ready. Rapture ready. Rapture is actually, the definition is in verse 17 in our text. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, it says, well, actually, we can start at verse 13. Read the whole passage. Verse 13 says, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So here it is, says those who have died in Jesus, died accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, says God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For those who are alive will not stop or hinder those who are dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. This is the definition of the word rapture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Those who are alive and remain on this earth shall be caught up together with them who died in Christ and have risen. So we shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is the definition of the word rapture. Rapture, the catching up of believers by Christ at the time of his return. Catching up. Catching up. A lot of people better catch up. Don't get left behind. Better catch up. There are words in the Christian vocabulary that are not actually in the Bible. The word rapture is one of them. But we just read the definition of what we call rapture. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation. The title of the message is Rapture Ready, but it's actually going to be done in three parts. Three parts. The first part today is identifying who you are. Identifying who you are. Revelation 22nd chapter, verses 18 and 19. And it reads, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Says, if any man shall add or take away. Now, it's not talking about adding or just taking away words, but changing the meaning of what the Bible is saying. So this is what these scriptures are saying. Say, if anyone shall take words or add words that will change the meaning of what the Bible is saying, one example, there's a translation. Now y'all know I read out of different translations. As a matter of fact, I want to do that now. I'm going to read this passage, the base passage, 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. And it reads, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words." That was the New Living Translation. Now, the Message Translation, it reads, "And regarding the question, friends, that has come up about what happens to those already dead and buried, we don't want you in the dark any longer. First off, you must not carry on over them like people who have nothing to look forward to, as if the grave were the last word. Since Jesus died and broke loose from the grave, God will most certainly bring back to life those who died in Jesus. So all that saying is, it doesn't stop at the grave. It does not stop at the grave. Verse 15 says, "And then this, we can tell you with complete confidence, we have the Master's word on it, that when the Master comes again to get us, those of us who are still alive will not get a jump on the dead and leave them behind. In actual fact, they'll be ahead of us. Because it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Says, they'll be ahead of us. The Master himself will give the command. Archangel thunder, God's trumpet blast, he'll come down from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise. They'll go first. See, this is lining up with the King James Version of, you know, what I read first. It says, they'll go first. Then the rest of us who are still alive at the time will be caught up with them into the clouds. Then the rest of us who are still alive at the time will be caught up with them into the clouds to meet the Master. Oh, we'll be walking on air. We'll be walking on air. And then there will be one huge family reunion with the Master. So reassure one another with these words. So these two different translations, the New Living Translation and the Message Bible, I read them because they line up with the King James Version. Now, we look at the King James Version as the base foundation of the Word of God, of what we call the Holy Bible. So the King James Version is the base foundation, but a lot of people don't understand the words and the terms of some of the words that are in the Bible. So there are different references, different translations that people can read and have a better understanding of what the King James Version is saying. So I say that to say this. Revelation 22, 18 and 19, when it speaks about not adding or taking away from the Word of God, from the King James Version, it's not just talking about adding or taking away words, but changing the meaning of what the Bible is saying. One example is called the New World Translation. That's a version of the Bible. The New World Translation. And that Bible is what we know as the Faith of Jehovah's Witnesses. That's the Bible that the Jehovah's Witnesses read and live by. So I'm going to give you an example. Let's go to St. John, first chapter. St. John, first chapter, starting at verse 1. And it reads, I'm reading this in the King James verse. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now I'm going to read that same scripture in the New Living Translation. And it reads, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. I'm going to read that again. In the beginning, the Word already existed. So King James Version starts off by saying, in the beginning was the Word. And the New Living Translation says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. Then it goes on to say, the Word was with God. King James Version says, and the Word was with God. New Living Translation goes on to say, and the Word was God. King James Version says, and the Word was God. Now, the Message Bible says the Word was first. The Word was first. So the Word was first in the Message Bible, and the New Living Translation says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. So that's saying that before the beginning was, the Word already existed, which is also saying that the Word was first. Then it goes on to say in the Message Bible, the Word present to God. The Word present to God, meaning that the Word was in God's presence. The Word was in God's presence. So if someone is sitting at this table with me, they're in my presence, which means that they are with me. We are together. So the Message says the Word present to God. The New Living Translation says the Word was with God. And the King James Version says the Word was with God. Then it goes on to say in the Message that the Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Says the Word was God in readiness for God from day one. So the Message says that the Word was God. The Word was God. You got the word was, and then right after the word was is God. So the word was God in the Message translation. In the New Living Translation, it says, and the Word was God. So you got the word was and God is next. The Word was God. And the King James Version says, and the Word was God. So you got the King James Version, which we use as the foundation, as the base Word of God. And then you have two different translations, the New Living Translation and the Message Translation, that says the same thing. The Word was God. Well, the New World Translation, let me read it for you. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. I wonder if you heard something different. Because if you're not careful, if you really don't know what you're reading, you would miss it. Because it's subtle. It's only one letter that separates this scripture from the base foundation of which we call the King James Version. I'm going to read it again. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. Do you hear the end of that? It says, the Word was a God. Not the Word was God, but the Word was a God. That small letter, A, just changed the whole meaning of what this scripture is saying. So it's not saying that the Word was God. It's saying that the Word was a God, another God, a different God. And that's significant. Because once we have that understanding, it changes everything. It changes everything. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Says the same was the same what? The same Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. By whom? By the Word. The Word that was with God. The Word that was God. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Without the Word that was in the beginning with God, and that was God, was not anything made that was made. And in Him, in the Word, in the Word that was God, was life. And then in verse 14, it reads, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that Word that was with God in the beginning, that Word that was God, became flesh. As we know to be the only begotten of the Father. The only begotten of the Father. So that little small letter A changes the whole understanding of what this scripture is saying. Because it doesn't say the Word was a God. It says the Word was God. The Word was God. So if we go to Genesis, the first chapter, in verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, so if that's the case, then according to the New World Translation, which God created the heaven and the earth? And then verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light. Verse 4 says, and God saw the light. And God divided the light. Verse 5 says, and God called the light day. So according to the New World Translation, which God? If it was a God alone with God, which God is it talking about? God, Almighty God, is not the author of confusion. That little small letter, A, causes so much confusion. God is not the author of confusion. St. John 3:16 reads, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So that right there says that there's God, and then there's the Son. It's only one God, and then there's a Son. Let's go to chapter 17, stay in St. John. St. John 17. Starting at verse 1. And it reads, "These words spake Jesus." Now, this is Jesus speaking. Because if you have a regular Bible, it's written in red. "So these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father." Jesus said, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God." Now, this is Jesus speaking. The Son, not a God, the Son says, "Know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, which thou hast sent." There's a separation there. These are two different persons that we're talking about. Talking about God the Father, and we're talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Does that sound familiar? "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." What does St. John 1 and 1 say? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Says he was there in his presence. Jesus was there in his presence. But he's not another God. He's the Son of God. Now let's look at something else. Acts the second chapter. Acts the second chapter. Starting at verse 1. I can tell now, I'm not going to finish. Acts 2 verse 1 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So this is what this event is describing. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And as the Spirit, what Spirit? The Holy Ghost. As the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. So it says here that they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. And then appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. Can you picture that? Says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So this is what has just appeared unto them and sat upon them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, which is another name for the Holy Ghost, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And let's go to St. John 14 now. St. John 14, talking about rapture ready, identifying who you are. St. John 14, starting at verse 15. And it reads, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is Jesus speaking. Verse 15 says, that was 14. Verse 15 says, if ye love me, that was for somebody. Glory to God. That was for somebody. St. John 14, chapter, verse 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is Jesus speaking. So Jesus is saying right now to someone, if you will ask anything in his name, in the name of Jesus, he's saying right now that he will do it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now verse 15 says, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you, listen, another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Did y'all catch that? I'm going to read it slowly. It says, I will pray the Father, and he and the Father shall give you another comforter. Now, the word comforter here, the letter C is capitalized. So it's putting emphasis on this word comforter. It says another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Excuse me. It says, he who, the comforter, I had to drink some water, that the comforter will abide with you forever. Verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, this is another name for the comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. I'll say that again. The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. Listen to this. It's called, Jesus is calling the Spirit of truth a him, because it seeth him, talking about the world, because the world seeth him not, neither knoweth him, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter, but ye know him, for he, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So right here, Jesus is calling the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, a he and a him. Now, sounds like a person to me. So we've established that there's God, there's Jesus, and there's Holy Spirit. So I read all that to say this. It says there are words in the Christian vocabulary that are not actually in the Bible. So this word is called Trinity. The word Trinity is not actually in the Bible. But the Christian vocabulary, Trinity, is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They're three different persons, because we just saw this when Jesus was speaking. He spoke to the Father. He spoke to God the Father. Let's go to St. John 16, verse 27 and 28, and it reads. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus is speaking here. And it says, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus is saying, I came out from God. Verse 28 says, and came forth from the Father. These are actual words that Jesus is speaking. It says, I came forth from God, from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So here in these two scriptures, he's calling God the Father. Says, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, who is God, and have come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. So this is what he was telling you. I have to go to the Father. But then he said, but I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm comforting you now. But when I leave, I'm going to send you another comforter. And that comforter is called the Spirit of Truth, is called Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So when we look at the word Trinity, no, the word Trinity per se is not actually in the Bible. But let's go to 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5, starting at verse 1. And it reads, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that beget loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Let's see if I'm reading this correctly. 1 John 5, 1 through 7. Okay, yes. Yes, this is right. But let's move on to verse 5. Verse 5, it reads, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That's the definition of the word Trinity. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Father, God the Father, the Word, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. These three are one, the Trinity. Now, I'm going to finish there. We're going to continue next week talking about identifying who you are. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for understanding, Father. Thank you for revelation. Thank you, Father, for getting us ready for what we call the rapture, for the gathering up of the saints together with your Son Jesus at his return. Help us, Father, to live this life to represent you, God. To live this life as if we are preparing for heaven. That as the soul asks the question, don't you want to go? So the answer to that question, don't you want to go to heaven, is how we're living. How we're living tells if we want to go to heaven or not. Father, we thank you and we praise you just for who you are. Help us to identify who we are as your sons and daughters. Getting us ready for the rapture. We thank you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Rapture ready. Rapture ready. And this three-part series this title, Identifying Who You Are. We only touched it, so we're going to continue it next week. Identifying who you are so that you can be rapture ready. Love you. Talk to you next week. It's going to be good next week. I'm telling you, it's going to be good because I didn't get into everything this week. But we're going to start off on where we left. Amen. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. Love you. God bless you. Talk to you next week.